Welcome, everybody, back to another lovely edition of the best friggin' show on the internet, The Oversharing Show. And it's even better tonight because of our amazing guests. I think he was one of our first guests ever on the show when we first started way back in 2021. Yeah.
It's called And Then There Were Three, I think.
Yeah. Now it's 2023. Ooh. But we'll get into that in a minute. I don't want to break tradition. Let me read the quote for today. Today's quote is, "You must be ready to burn yourself in your own flame. How could you rise anew if you have not first become ashes?" And that is by Friedrich Nietzsche.
Wow. We were just talking about him before.
Yeah, before the show. We were.
Amazing. Yeah, and I'm pulling from the Morgan Greer. I'm going to pull one. Five of Wands. Didn't we just pull this in another deck?
We did. We just pulled the Five of Wands when we had who did we have on? Oh, Austin.
Oh, was it with Austin? Yeah. Awesome, Austin.
Yeah, I was just listening to that episode again because I didn't get to catch the whole premiere. Even though I was there for the recording, I didn't get to catch the whole premiere because I had a gig. But oh yeah, what a great episode that was. Go back and check that out if you haven't seen that, people. We just did it. It was episode 44 or 43?
43.
Yeah, 43. Go check it out. But yeah, I like that. I think it was a different deck too, right? It wasn't this deck.
Yeah, it was a different deck. I think it was the Luna Soul deck.
Oh yeah, I remember that deck.
Is that guy's hand blue?
Let me see. It's odd. I can't tell because the lighting in here sucks. It's dark and the lighting in here.
Oh, maybe he has like a glove on. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Or maybe it's Krishna, Lord Krishna.
Maybe it's Avatar.
Yeah, I like
that. Are you guys going to watch the new one?
I've heard it was not till it comes out good as the first one.
I mean, okay.
They typically aren't, but like my buddy who goes into these things, the same minds that we do esoterically, like how can I dissect everything apart? Him and his twin flame are like, this is garbage. So I don't know.
Then I probably won't watch it.
Darn it.
But yeah. So we talked about the Five of Wands a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah. Great card. Yeah. Go check out that episode and you can listen about that card. We have way too much to talk about today. First of all, we'll just say our guest today is the lovely Adam, who we said has been on our show multiple times, and I've actually been sitting next to him while we recorded one time while we were at his house, which was amazing, and Sharon was on the other end. But today, though, we're going to be talking about stuff that we talk about, us three talk about a lot in our private lives and stuff, but we haven't really talked about it on a show together yet, and that is law, legal stuff, anything with the legal system, because, you know, in this, I don't know if you want to call it community or in these different communities that we're in, this is one big one that comes up a lot, but we're going to start it, though, basically, so if you really don't even know anything about it, you could watch this episode. So we're going to explain things like, you know, how everything that they're doing now in a court system might not technically be legal or lawful or correct, but we're not sure. Of course, YouTube, don't kick us off for these. We're not making claims, but that's the kind of stuff we're going to get into. And we all know stories of different things that have happened to people and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be very interesting. So stick around. Anyway, what's going on, Adam? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah. This is basically like a consent-based world. It's kind of what I've kind of concluded, that everything seems to be consent based. And I think that's kind of what we'll kind of get into as well. Whether you're consenting consciously or, you know, by acquiescence, you didn't even know, or maybe you did know. There's some things in there I think maybe that will come up in our discussions, but it seems to me like everything's based on consent. Hence, I think people know that in the last 2 years with, you know, where's your mask? Where's your mask? Right. So I think people kind of know consent and different ways you can go about it with like affidavits or notices and things like that. Not that we're going to get into that heavy, but I'm just saying consent. But that aside, things are good, man. The last time we talked on the show, well, I have an announcement since last time we talked on the show, is that I told you guys in private, but hello, YouTube, we're pregnant with our, you know, second kid. So she will be due in June. And I was Ooh. It, is that Gemini?
Yeah.
June 11th, 14th, okay, yeah. something like
that's,
that.
That's Gemini.
Yeah. So yeah, we just made that announcement on Christmas. It was fun little announcement. So we're very blessed with that. Oh. And our little boy, he's what, six, I think he just turned 16 months plus 9 months in the womb. And man, they just, and I know they said kids grow up so fast, but holy cow, man, like this dude's running all around grabbing stuff. And it is just a thrill just to watch a little man just running throughout the house. I can't imagine a different point in my time in life where I'm at now. Just kind of knowing some of the things I'm at, I know, and kind of where I'm at spiritually and mentally, and just be able to kind of sit back. You know, I'm what, I'll be 44 years according to the
very soon,
Gregorian calendar.
Wait, very soon, right?
Yeah, the 30th.
Yeah,
according to the Gregorian calendar. Yeah, but you know, they're like, well, aren't you kind of old? You know, your kids should be like going to college at this point. Like, I'm at the perfect age. Like I hear like grandparents are like, you know, it's still much different when you're a grandparent because you know, life is kind of, you know, settled down and things are better. And I'm like, I kind of see myself retired as it is. Yeah, this is great. Like I'm already in that retired mindset. So.
That's awesome.
We're very blessed. So yeah, man, things are good. How about you?
Oh man, I can't complain. I've met a woman. We haven't really talked about it in the show much, but I'm sure we will soon. You know, Sharon met a man. Well, already had the man, but you know, it's crazy. Things are starting to really happen, and yeah.
Nuts. I've been calling this the year of abundance, and that could mean any which way you look at it. It doesn't have to be like wealth or like gold or silver or FRNs or just an abundance. And I just, that's what I kind of see this year happening. And
totally.
Yeah.
I've been seeing cards, numbers, like when I pull a card or when I see numbers and I go look up the numbers, it's about abundance. It's like,
oh yeah.
Okay. Got it. Source. I got it.
That's cool.
It's exciting.
That's cool. You said that. Well, I'm happy for both of you guys. Yeah. I've been hearing stuff on Sharon's front end or her end with Cody, and I'm awesome to hear about Brandon's situation. Like, I want to hear more about that. So, you know, like I said, man, abundance.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But I want to bring this back around to law.
Yeah, sure.
Because you said that your baby is 16 months plus 9 months in the womb.
There you go. So
what's that all about?
Yeah. So like you know, we're all used to celebrating a birthday, right? A birthday would be the day that you exited the portal of entry, right? The day you were delivered, either in a hospital or home or however you were delivered. And then we celebrate that year annually. And, but, you know, that's not really the origin of who you are. That's just the day that you left the water realm, right? The maritime law, and you kind of moved into the land, the land jurisdiction, if you will.
Dry land.
Yeah. Right. And so what is your actual origin? Like we have all these superhero movies and, you know, like the one of the origin of all these characters, right? The origin. Well, do you even know your own origin? Some people just think, you know, birthday, and that's like the end all be all. That's when my life started because, you know, everyone celebrates it. But the actual origin of all of us is when, you know, your dad dropped off 23 chromosomes. I'm not gonna be graphic. And your mom, she dropped off 23 chromosomes, both at a building site, right? And when those 23 and 23 came together and made a 46 chromosome, that's what's called the zygote. And that zygote has all 46 chromosomes, and that one cell, it's the only time in your life you were ever undivided, right? Your undivided attention was right there at that moment, the single cell. It's a joke.
Dad joke.
Thanks. That is your origin, right? That that zygote from that point contained everything about who you are, the complete building structures of what you look like. And it's interesting because we were just talking off air about, you know, growing our, obviously Brandon has his hair long and I've been growing my hair. I haven't cut my hair in about a year now. My son, we don't plan on cutting his hair till at least 7. And there's reasons behind that. But Brandon said, I believe that cutting your hair or your face as a man is a lie. And I thought that is interesting because you're putting on a different persona, right? Just like wearing a mask, we put on a different persona, which I'll get into. So I say that because the blueprint of who you are has already said, okay, well, you're going to have very long hair, or you're going to be bald, or you're going to have all these features, and you're going to be a boy, you're going to be a girl, you're going to have these parts, you're going to have all this stuff, right? The whole blueprint's all right there. And then we have all these ways to change ourselves or fit into society and, you know, alter ourselves. But really, you're just lying to yourself about who you really are, about your origin, about, you know, your zygotic start. So I like to say, you know, I'm 44 years plus 10 and a half months. I was in my mom for a while.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, she was not a happy camper, but I was a while. But I like to add that plus because it's a conversation starter for one. And I am actively working on projecting my origin. Because if I just say 44, then I've negated all that time in the womb and all that time where my creator, which that zygote, the zygote is your creator. It is the father in heaven. And I completely negate that origin. So if I just say I'm 44, then now you can't just go around and say, oh, I'm 44 plus 10, I'm 44 plus 9. And socially, that's not going to make any sense. And people are going to get annoyed with you. But to some people who have ears to hear and eyes to see, I might throw in something like that. Just to kind of see where you're at, you know, gauge it once or twice. Oh, nothing, not nothing at all. Okay, Agent Smith, I'm going to go about and just, yeah, I'm 44. So yeah, I'll just stop right there. Any thoughts on that? I'm trying to make this like super simple because everyone's going to be hearing this stuff at different points from their own truth seeking. And the whole birth part, which even birth kind of means, it's not really a great word. Birth is really just an admiralty law, a water word, to birth, right? That's when a ship leaves its harbor, or when a ship is crescent for the very first time to take its first sail, that's its birth. So when you smash the bottle, you know, against the hull, that's the birth. So why should we call it a birthday when you actually just left the waters of mother? So we like to say born day or breath day. So if it's kind of in passing, you know, oh, it's my breath day. People are like, oh, did he say birthday? But you say it quick enough where people are like, might take a,
did I hear,
you know,
it wrong?
Right. It's still on you. Cause I'm still moving past my sentence, right? I'm still talking, but at least
you could just say B day. You could say that's yeah. My B day.
Yeah, that's true too. But I, you know, I like to be a little provocative and kind of like,
oh yeah, of course,
poke the rod or use my rod to poke people a little bit. So
I've been saying born day and realm entrance anniversary and just weird things like that for like a good year. I don't know. It's been at least a good year.
Yeah.
Since Adam and I started looking into these topics, probably, what was it like beginning of 2020, like spring of 2020, I want to say we started
which topics, like the birthday just stuff
or the law, like,
oh, law. Yeah. Topics. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, truth be told, I don't even remember when, once we went from the lawful legal topics and looking into that, when we started looking into like the whole, but I think it happened pretty quickly because that's all tied up with the birth certificate and everything. So like, I think at that point I didn't want to call it that anymore. I can't remember when, but at some point I started calling it.
There was a
else.
Point where we were just kind of like very intentional of the words we were using. Like at some point before then, before even, you know, being quote unquote woke, which isn't, I don't like that word, but
yeah,
you were just kind of like say whatever, you just say whatever, because that's just, there's just words, they don't mean anything. And at some point you're like, I should be careful what comes out of my mouth, because I might be, you know, either manifesting something or saying something or cursing somebody or myself, or putting myself in some type of contract that I didn't consent to. Right.
I went through that phase of that. But I still say it just for fun, because it is provoking to people, and people are like, and it's different. Like, I'm not saying the same thing everyone else and their mother is saying, like, happy birthday. I say happy realm entrance anniversary or happy born day.
for Jackson's first, we had the whole family over, made a big, huge farm thing. And, you know, I had harvested a rabbit, a turkey, chicken, duck, and, you know, I made tacos, and it was a whole thing that I was making, because I wanted to have people experience our homestead and taste different animals and probably never tasted before. And we didn't call it a birthday party. We called it the Solar Return Festival.
Yes, or I've called it Solar Return sometimes
too. And it freaked everybody out. There was no birthday signs, because they're all used to birthday signs. There was no song. There was no cake. There was no candle.
Hilarious.
So when I had everybody gather around. And I, you know, put my hand over Jackson and I just gave thanks.
Yeah.
It's like, we give thanks for, you know, this life and all this other stuff, and let's eat. People are like, this is weird.
That's funny.
You're such a weirdo. No, that's awesome. Like, that's amazing.
Like everything that could possibly, like everything that we've always thought of as something like totally like normal and is like changing, right? Like, yeah. I'm even thinking about like the whole concept of like a wedding and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't even, like, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I'll just put that out there. Because I mean, if I'm already like, if I already know that I'm in like a divine union with someone,
right?
Like, maybe just have like a celebration of that. But like, why do I need to like have some sort of like thing? I don't know. I'm wondering, like, the wheels in my head are spinning about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously with from you, but I don't know about Brandon too. It's like when you come up to these new like life events, these milestones, you start to take a pause and like, I don't want to do what's normal. How should I go to it? How do people do it before? Why did they do it that way? Yeah. And you just start taking a step back and like, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. And I'll get into a little bit that we're going to be doing with, I got to not say the baby's name.
Oh.
Yeah. We know the baby's name.
Okay. But I mean, if you can use a
baby
letter.
No, baby.
Just baby. He goes, no, it's N. No,
yeah. Baby girl.
Baby girl. When baby girl is born, we have a very interesting way that we're going to be handling her situation.
Yeah.
Because maybe kind of circling it back is with, you said it's about birth certificates, right? And the birthday. Well, with the law, they,
can I interject for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us, are you open to telling about what, like, went you went through with baby number one, baby boy?
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
Like how that transpired, so that we can have kind of a background of that before we have the new story.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So Crow 777 probably 2 years ago really started to get, you know, heavy into law, and we all know that. And then through that came out home births and people talking about, you know, delivering from home and, you know, the vitamin K shots and all these types of things to avoid, you know, this, that, and the other. And a lot of great speakers on. And my wife and I, we listened to a bunch of that stuff. And my wife was a nurse for, I don't know, years. And she worked in the maternity ward. So she was like, you know, catching the baby as they were, you know, coming out. Like she was, you know, right there doing all the discharge, doing all the medicine, you know, giving you the birth certificate, taking your information. She was there.
In that. Wow.
And so when she started hearing all this other stuff, it's just like, pump the brakes. Some of this is, I get some of this stuff, but it's hard. I mean, probably even still now, it's hard for her to divide, you know, all her education has taught her and the license that she had to get versus, you know, nature and homeopathic and, you know, midwives and doulas and versus, you know, going straight to the hospital. And so, you know, as we're learning and studying this stuff together, Alphonse also came on and started talking about affidavits. And I've drafted some affidavits, but the first I think I actually really used was when I created one to go to the hospital to deliver Jackson. But that was like the last resort. We had attempted to have a home delivery. We had a midwife, a crazy situation. She was only licensed in North Carolina, and in North Carolina, it's like illegal to have home births. And we live like just south of the border on South Carolina. And she agreed to be the midwife for us. But she had to do it off the record. So like, ooh, because this is good sign. This is good omen. She was going to come to South Carolina, do the whole delivery. She's like, okay, it's on you to like do the birth certificate and all this other stuff, because I legally can't even be here. So we're like, perfect. This is the right woman. And had all that lined up, got a doula. A doula is kind of like to help, you know, with emotions, help process things and help, you know, like a woman, like, you know, having
like a girlfriend,
a sister wife or something, not sister wife, but you know, yeah. Someone to like bounce stuff off of. I've been through births or deliveries, and I still say births. So we had all that lined up, and then Kate ended up being 2 weeks late. And the lady, the midwife, was like, well, after 52 weeks, I don't help do deliveries. 42. Thank you. Yeah. 42. After 42 weeks, if the baby hasn't been delivered, then she won't help anymore. And so we were kind of on the fence of like, well, why not? Maybe we'll just deal without her. And Kate had two appointments, and his fluid levels were like dropped like significantly, like the embryonic fluids that were in there, whatever the rate's supposed to be, let's say like 20, mid 20s, I'm just guessing. Well, it dropped like to like 9. And so he was running out of like fluids. So like, okay, maybe this is a sign that he, for whatever reason, he needs to be born at a hospital. I hated the whole idea because I'm very, you know, legal law, you know, all this other stuff. And like, don't touch my baby. Don't put the stuff in him, you know, all this stuff. So in like 24 hours, I drafted like a 7-page affidavit and for myself, for Kate and for the boy, called the boy my property. We went, got it all notarized, you know, so that when we walked in the hospital, not to be like jerks, but we went to the hospital, like, this is our birthing plan. Like I said, like affidavit on it, but like the birthing plan for us. And so it was like, okay, here's what happens if it's a natural delivery. Here's what happens if it's a C-section. Here's what happens if Kate passes out. Here's what happens if Kate like loses blood. Here's what happened, like all these different scenarios and situations. And they were impressed that Kate, you know, she knows that world. They're impressed that we had tons of different options and plans. So they respected us a little bit more. They treated us a little bit differently. Plus Kate knew all the, you know, the words and vernacular to use to kind of escape by certain things. And so when they started offering, you know, vitamin K and other stuff, we declined everything, but there were two things that they wanted us to sign. Okay. If you can decline vitamin K and decline something else, then you have to sign these documents. And so they brought the documents and she left. Well, I didn't like some of the words that were on there, like patient and like birth, or there were just a couple words I didn't like. Well, you know, the amateur level of law that I knew, I'm like, okay, well, this is just a contract. I can cross out or white out what I want. And I had a feeling this would happen. So I had already brought white out with me and like different colored pens. And, you know, I was like ready to go in a laptop. And so I whited out what I didn't like. I wrote in the words I did like, and they were stupid enough that they had already pre-signed the witness section. So I can make this say whatever I want. And so I did all this. I scanned it all in because I was prepared. Sent it to my notar. She notarized it right then and there, sent me back official, you know, scan documents. She's like, it's notarized, here's all the stuff. And so I saved it. And then I gave those two documents back to the lady. She's like, okay, thanks. Maybe 2 hours later, administrative lady comes in. She's like, you guys can't be making changes to documents. That's like blah, blah, blah. And we just both looked at her and just kind of nod our head. Well, you guys just have a nice day. And I told you. That was it. No one said another thing to us. So what you can change the documents. But then she had a C-section because there was some complications, and he was delivered. But on the documents, I said, I want to make sure that his placenta is fully intact. Do not cut the umbilical cord. I want delayed clamping. And at that time, from just listening to the crow, all I knew was there's still life force in his placenta. And I want to make sure he gets as much of it as he can and until the placenta goes white, the umbilical cord goes white. And the doctors, they know the term delayed clamping, but that's like 60 seconds. Maybe you can get 5 minutes if you kind of like pushy. We went an hour with an affidavit. So, you know, coming out of the portal of entry that way, it's kind of easier to kind of just take everything together. But when you have to do a cesarean section, it's a little bit more difficult, I guess, for whatever reason, to kind of grab everything and scoop it all out. But I was very adamant, like, no, if you don't do that, Kate will die first before you cut that umbilical cord. It's kind of putting that, you know, putting pressure on them. Like, okay, we get it. So, you know, the full baby came out, placenta laying on the table for an hour. I was taking photos and videos and sending them to Kate or showing Kate, like, hey, what do you think? This is the progress. Cause they don't typically allow you to take pictures or photos in there. I got pictures and videos of him like coming out through the whole thing. Right. So it was pretty cool to be able to get some of those photos, you know, because we were showing Kate the when the cord went white. So I was doing everything I knew up to that point. What I knew was, you know, okay, the placenta is good. It's got good stuff in it. I want to, you know, make sure baby gets everything. After an hour, I let them clamp it and cut it. And
did you take the placenta home?
Yes. Yeah, so we had already organized somebody to meet us that night. She came to the hospital. They gave us the placenta and they umbilical cord everything into like this big, you know, styrofoam container thing. I went down to the lady and she took it and she made like capsules.
Encapsulate.
And then she also did like a tincture that she made. And so we still have some of those. You know, we've given him a couple. Kate was taking that stuff when she was breastfeeding, just so he gets it back into his body. Mm-hmm. So if he gets sick or something, he hasn't, then we'll just kind of give him that, because that's what stem cells, I guess, right?
Amazing.
So he'll just re-ingest that and his body will just kind of reabsorb that. So at that time, that's, you know, was way off the charts of the norm, which it is. But since then, I have learned a lot more. So this next baby is going to be even more wilder than that. Yeah. But I'll pause if you have any questions or comments on
what
on
about just that alone. Birth certificate and stuff like that.
He did.
Yes, that's a big point. That's a big thing. So they did ask for that, you know, but throughout the whole time, they kept asking, what's the boy's name? And I knew this was all going to go towards the birth certificate. So we had just said, well, we're Taoists or Taoist. And so we kind of like, he was supposed to be a Leo, but that was like 2 days ago. And so now this is Gemini. So we kind of want to feel things out. Like I just kind of played like this very like, you know, airy kind of person, but like we all thought out that just like, okay. So we don't really know his name yet. So we're going to take him home and let it all figure it out, you know, after a couple of days. So we just kept playing that car and they just kind of backed off because they were just like, I don't even know how to approach this. So it came to the day where they were getting ready to discharge. We actually had to stay in the hospital for 3 extra days because Kate lost a lot of blood. And that was a whole separate conversation of blood transfusions that I wasn't on board with, but it was like, okay, this is life or death. Oh, fine, Kate. So they asked us the day, the very last day for to discharge him, you know, we got to do the birth certificate form, and they didn't have the name. So they collected all my information and they collected all Kate's information. And then they just gave us the document and said, okay, you need to take this down to the court of records, the courthouse. And we let them know, hey, this is not a problem at all. We're actually on our way. We're up here quite a bit. Have no problem taking it to the courthouse. You know, I just played right along. Now I've known some other people that were in different patriot movements that knew the same type of information about, you know, you don't get a birth certificate because blah, 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 blah. But they made a big fuss about it. Like, we're not signing anything and we're not doing this and blah, 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 blah. Well, okay, red flag, red flag, red flag. Here comes Child Protective Services. They're coming in. The dad got arrested. This is up in Pennsylvania because he was causing a scene and they lost the kid for like several days. Child Protective Services took him away.
Morons. Stay under the radar, dude.
Morons. And that's the whole thing is Kate knew what to say to kind of like skate right under the radar, where they're like, okay, I gotta ask this question, because if you answer yes or no here, then that means yes, I can discharge you, or no, I gotta escalate this to Child Protective Services. And it was kind of like right into like, okay, like it's not a yes or a no, but I'll just go in this direction. So I actually put together a, I don't know, 10 page document outlining our entire process that we went through. By the way, we didn't file the birth certificate at all, so he doesn't have one. But I did do what's called a baby deed. And a baby deed is something like you record on the land. So back in the days, many, many days, decades, they used to record marriages and deliveries, births, and Bibles. And you could just take the Bible straight to the clerk of courts, and she just scan it in and make a copy of it. And then, you know, Bob's your uncle and you're recorded. Which now, this is a side tangent. I'm going to save that one. Just remind me about Nazis burning books, because that's where that would take me. Nazis burning books, because that's going to take me right to that segue. Okay, fine, I'll go there. So when in World War II and one or whichever ones, when the Nazis were burning all those books, they were burning Bibles, right? They were collecting all these Bibles, and they had these big bonfires of Indiana Jones and the third one, where he was like going through Germany, Nazi Germany, and he hands Hitler his book and he signs it, right, and gives it back to him. But they're having these big bonfires of burning Bibles. Well, why Bibles? You know, you can't really just, Bibles are everywhere. Like, you can't just destroy all the Bibles. Why not any other books? Unless that, you know, they were destroying evidence of records of people being born.
And right? People getting married.
And people getting married, right. And then the same thing around that same time period was the Salem witch trials. Well, the Salem witch trials wasn't about burning witches. It was about burning and killing midwives and doulas and anyone that was actually there for the actual delivery of births.
Record of them remembering.
Right. There's no witness. So there's no witness, physical witness, and there's now no written witness to destroy bloodlines. And what came out of all that? Certain national group of people got their own country and made claims that they have blood rights to maybe a king at some point. And there's no one to dispute any of that, because why? Well, there's no records. Allegedly, I'm just making accusations. Allegedly. So part of that, so you used to be able to record, you know, you still can take a Bible and record it and take it over there. So we didn't do a birth certificate, we did a baby deed, which is kind of like a fancy way of a living man and a living woman making a claim on their baby. I don't want to say child, because child's not really a good word, on their baby, but you got to claim it as property. So you claim it as property until they're of age, and then they can claim themselves. So that we made those are notarized, those are filed in courthouses and whatnot, so that, you know, nobody has an actual claim on the baby.
Except for you and your wife.
Except for me and my wife, right.
I was just going to say you and your wife, but you know,
my wife
annulled your marriage certificate in some way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So part of that, so we I don't want to get too.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm going in.
No. I meant with like, ASN stuff. Like, I don't want to.
Yeah. No, we don't have to go there. No.
But like, we've been looking into like, how do you correct any records that might say you're this or you're that? Whereas,
well, basically, you know, what so people that are listening, if they don't
know how to say this, segue into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what Adam is trying to say is, and we'll get to this too, because I wanted to ask him why it's bad to have a birth certificate. Why shouldn't we have one? And what basically breaks it down is you're kind of consenting with certain things that you sign and certain documents that you have. You're consenting to open yourself up to be a subject of the government, when sometimes you don't actually have to do that. You know, there's ways around it where you can enjoy more freedoms if you don't tacitly agree to these things that you don't understand when you go get married, or when you do a birth certificate, or when you register to vote, or any of this stuff.
Licenses and registration. And
yeah. Well said.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, so just like
with, you were talking about the marriage, though. I don't want to derail you.
No, like with taxes, right? People are like, oh, yeah, I got to pay your taxes. You got to pay your taxes. Well, the taxes, they receive their money as a gift. I forget the name of a code. Like, if you get a check and you write the back of it, 501(c)(3). That's not right.
I can't remember.
Whatever it is, it's like 40211, doesn't matter. There are numbers that you can write on the back of the check that mean, according to the commercial codes, this is lawful money. Now, banks, when they see that, they'll completely freak out. Like, oh, no, we can't accept that money. Because banks, like, they only, central banks, they can only accept Federal Reserve notes. So that's my say, FRNs. That's what I mean by that. FRNs aren't backed by actual gold. They haven't been backed by gold since Truman the 33, right? It hasn't been backed since then. It's now like on the gold standard. Gold standard's not gold. It's just a standard. I forget the word standard means something. So taxes, that when you pay your taxes and you sign something, you actually become the tax collector because of your signature. You monetize something with your signature. Like, your signature has power. So when you sign anything, you're monetizing that instrument. That's what it is. The document, traffic ticket, anything. When you sign something, you're monetizing that as value, and then the recipient receives it as value. Some people might take it to a court to get redemption. Some people might cash it to the U.S. Treasury, which is what we're supposed to do. Ultimately, everything goes back to the U.S. Treasury, and then they take that monetized signature, and then they give it value. And that value is a Federal Reserve note. So when the IRS, when they receive money, they receive it as a gift. So there's a, like, if you make a donation to a church, well, a church accepts that as a gift, and then they have to write it off specifically with their 501(c)(3) and, you know, or a 508. They got to write it off a certain way and then send out that document with their IRS. Well, when you make an IRS payment, they also receive it as a gift. Okay, well, if you're receiving it as a gift, then I don't have to give you a gift. I don't have to give you a gift at all.
It's voluntary.
It's all voluntary. And so the more you start looking into the 1040s and where that all came from and what that means, it's 100% voluntary. Any U.S. citizen or anybody can just stop paying your taxes. Now, I'm not telling anybody to do that. I'm just saying, like, you need to know a lot more than what I'm saying. Just take away the fact that it is voluntary and it's not mandatory. Just like wearing a mask is voluntary, it's not mandatory.
Requires your consent.
Right. But then the US, but you can also, there's ways like discharge things. People have already heard of accepted for value and stuff like that. But whether you discharge that, there's ways to do that on the IRS statement, the coupon, or you send in the money. They turn around, they're one of the few people, if not the only ones left, that have the back door to the US Treasury. And then they just send it off to the US Treasury, they get their money back, and then thanks. So they kind of double dip. Even if you sent them cash, they're going to take that coupon, which if you take a remit, like the dotted lines on a bill of any kind, you see that little remit, that little stub section down below, that's called a coupon. If you know how to write on that, then you know a specific set of words, you can send that back. They then send it to the US Treasury. The US Treasury acknowledges because your signature monetizes it, right? You monetize that document, and then they give you the, they say to the bank or the lender, all good to go. And okay, you're good. That's how it's supposed to and does work. Nobody, good luck trying to get things to work like that. You get thrown in jail. Ask Chris Hemsworth. No, that's the actor. Chris, who's that guy that does the 1099 A's, B's, and C's? He was on Crow, and Crow's like, you're never coming
Hauser.
Back. Hauser. Yeah, Chris won't, or Crow won't have him back because he just puts liens on everybody. Yeah. Anyhow, that is a bit of a tangent to say what Brandon was saying, that tacit agreements on certain contracts you may not want to agree to, but you don't always have full disclosure. So a contract has to have three elements: meeting of the minds, full disclosure, and something else I can't remember. When you have those three things, then you have a good contract. So the birth certificate is not full disclosure because your mom and your dad are what kind of signed that document or signed that those instruments to give it life. But people,
and they're listed, your mom's listed as an informant.
An informant. That's right. Informant for the state. And people already know this, most of this stuff. They don't want to kind of beat the head in the nail, but the all capitalized name is not the same as the all lowercase name. In English, a lowercase, you know, so a word is typically in lowercase. In English, if you change any letter, case, you change any case in a word, you've actually changed the meaning of that word, which I'm sure Shannon knows. Sharon knows. But if you change all the words, change all the cases in a word, there's no English rule that says that's even a word, period. That doesn't even say that's an actual word. That actually converts into what's called dog Latin. Dog Latin is not a word. It's for the dead, right? It's the way to speak to the dead who back in, you know, Greek and Latin days where the dumb people can't speak. And so they write in all caps. The only time you really see a thing in all caps is on a gravestone. A tombstone, right? That's the only time you're going to see all caps. So if you see a contract that sometimes in the back has like, you know, normal English and then all caps and then normal English and all caps, if there's all caps on any document, you can just pretend it doesn't even exist because it's not, it's two different languages. It's like me writing in French and then English and I'm only agreeing to one language. So on the birth certificate, they all have all caps. Well, that's the decedent estate. So they're considering when they cut that umbilical cord, you have the man on one side and you have the placenta on the other side. They're putting the birth certificate on the placenta, and I can explain why, but they put it on the placenta. So that's considered a decedent estate, and they get so it's dead. They consider the death. That's the birth certificate. It's technically a death certificate, technically. But when you go and say, oh yeah, that's my birth certificate, or that's my name and then the driver's license and all this stuff, you're agreeing to be what people have heard that's a straw man, but you're agreeing to be the dead placenta, right? That's who you're agreeing to be. So if you're agreeing to be someone that's dead, well, then the dead don't have any rights. So if you go into court and they say, all rise, okay, only the dead rise, and the man's wearing all black, right? He's having a seance. So now he needs somebody to represent you from dead to living so he can interact with you. And that guy that's bringing the two people back together, the dead and the living, is a bar attorney or a lawyer or Jesus Christ or the Pope or anybody that kind of brings the man back to the creator. So they're trying to tie the man back to the placenta because the placenta is the father, that's the creditor. And the man, that's the debtor. So if the debtor walks in, okay, well, I need to get credit. So you need to pretend to be the credit. Well, you're separated. So the attorney is going to put the two together, represent you. That way the judge and everybody can interact and get the money. They just want the money, right? They just want the creditor. They want you to monetize something so they can get access to that credit, which goes all the way back to 1933, Harry S. Truman. So who did I lose there?
That book, Jekyll Island or something like that?
Yeah.
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
That's the one. Yeah, that's a pretty good book. It doesn't really go into like the birth certificate stuff or, the placenta or decedent estate. It really just kind of goes into that Federal Reserve notes have no value and that there's no government official anywhere or IRS specifically or U.S. Treasury. Nobody can define what money is. Nobody can define what cash is. And how they go about, you know, exchanging monies, kind of how I was talking about with discharging things like that. And, you know, what the origin was of the Federal Reserve, you know, the eight families, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and different other people brought, you know, one financial guy from each family to Georgia where they, you know, 1913 came up with the Federal Reserve note, how to, you know, make it a corporation, but have the word federal in front of it so that, you know, you kind of think, you know, this is a real deal.
Official.
Right. So all that to segue is, no, he doesn't have a birthday or birth certificate. And how that's going to play out then, you know, when he gets older, I'm not 100%. I know I have an updated passport where it doesn't say U.S. citizen on it. And I'm working on a different type of passport, but I got one right now, which is like the passport and then 11 pages, which is part of my application, that they notarized, certified, sealed, sent back to me, and is now part of my application, which basically states I'm a living man, I'm not a U.S. citizen, I'm, you know, these types of things. And it's kind of like just a bunch of back and forth letters that have been sent back to the passport agency in part of my application. So it's now all one application, which is interesting. My point is that you can use your passport. Not everybody has a social security number. You can use your passport if you put the letter P in front of like your nine digits of like your social security number. You know, it's nine digits. Well, your passport's also nine digits. If you put the letter P in front of it on like a bank application or a loan application, they'll recognize that, and you can use that in lieu of a social security number. So at some point, you know, I'll get the kids their own passports. I'm not sure the age you have to be, maybe like 7 or 10 or something. And then whenever
I have one from when I was a baby.
Okay. Well, then I need to look into that because I don't know the age, but that's solution.
I have one where there's a baby picture of me and I'm like kind of crying.
of the passport? Like, yes, that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I can try to find it right now.
That's cool. Chat.
Who's the guy that's like, that baby doesn't look like the baby in the picture? Yeah. Like, I mean, come on.
But you were gonna segue into your new baby girl.
Yeah,
you're gonna tell that story. So unless you want to finish up whatever you were finishing.
Oh no, I'm hoping the passport's the solution for like identification, right? Because
I want to know more about that once you get yours done. Because I'd like to.
Yeah. Well, I've done mine. I've done one.
Oh, all right.
There's something else I can't say. You might have to sign a non-disclosure about. Another type of passport, fine. But the best thing I can find is the route that I went. So really that route only matters if I'm like, oh, she found it. If I'm get pulled into court or something.
Make sure it doesn't have like your social security number.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I know I'm like going to do this, but like, let's see.
Oh man, that's cool.
That's funny. That's not that baby.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's real good to know. Then I'll start pursuing that because it took me a year and a half to get my passport application done because of the way I went through it.
Does the passport look different? What's it?
No, it looks exactly the same. So it really comes down to how you sign your name. Really, on the passport is a big deal. I know a lot of people have different. You know, you gotta sign your name this way or use hyphens and colons and dots and uppercase and lowercase and this color pen and all that other stuff. But really, it comes down to the intent. Right, your intent. You want to show your intent, however you sign it on the passport. You're supposed to put a thumbprint on it, maybe. I don't know. But it's supposed to be about canceling. You're supposed to use a stamp and cancel it all out. So there's a bunch of different ways to go about it. But anyhow, I'm hoping that, you know, if the kids someday need to go set up a bank account or do something, depending on what realm happens the next, you know, 18, 20 years, they'll have hopefully a passport and can just use that in lieu of a social security number.
I'm sure that'll work.
They even need a bank.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So with the new baby, from studying stuff with Kurt, my mentor is Curtis R. Period Kallenbach. He's been on Crow probably more times than anybody else. He has a guy that Kurt trusts implicitly. He's French. I can't think of his name, but he's been on Crow quite a bit too. And he actually takes Kurt's work and actually puts pen to paper. Is that right? Pen to ink?
Is it Sui Generis?
That's it. Yep. They're like really good friends.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they actually just had a really 3-hour long podcast show right before Christmas. It blew my mind. And even Sui was just like, oh yeah. Sui was like, dude, your latest book. Cause I guess he got a copy of it before.
An early copy.
He's like, it changes everything. And I can explain why that too. So with following Kurt, like I said, go listen to, if you listen to Crow, if you have a membership, go just search Curtis and listen to all of them. They're so good. He really breaks down to like why knowing your origin really matters and why accepting the birthday is you're agreeing to a contract. So even if you go and say, oh, I joined this Patriot group and I'm no longer a 14th Amendment U.S. citizen, I'm a national or I'm a sovereign or I'm this, that and the other, right? Whatever. If you get dragged into a courtroom for whatever reason and, you know, you say, oh, I'm the sui juris, sui juris, or you're the there's different things you can say to let the judge know that you aren't who you, I'm not the all caps name, right? Different ways of saying it. They might get upset or whatnot. Doesn't matter. He's going to ask you when he sees this. Well, okay, that's fine. So when's your birthday? And you're going to say, oh, my birthday is blah, 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 blah. That's it. He now has jurisdiction over you, 100%. Because the birthday, you've forgotten your origin. If you admit to a birthday, you're admitting to human trafficking.
Plain so what would you say then?
Birthdays are for infants. I'm a grown man from fertilization until my last breath. I am whole. I and my father are one.
All right.
Literally. That one. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what you would say. And he's going to test you. Like, you know, people are like, oh, okay, there's hidden handshakes you can say verbally, or you can write something. But even if there is a hidden handshake you can say to a judge or whatnot, they're going to test the crap out of you, right? They're going to make sure that you actually know and can speak and talk the talk. And so the point I was getting at is, if you agree to a birthday, you're actually agreeing to human trafficking. So when a baby's delivered in the hospital or, you know, at home, a delivery is defined in medical practice as the baby, the umbilical cord, the placenta, the call, the wall, everything inside the embryo sac is a full delivery. So if all that stuff doesn't come out whole and complete, whole, it's a key word, then it's not a full delivery. It's when they cut the umbilical cord, that's how they make all men equal, right? The equal men, equal rights for all men. All men are created equal. All men are created equal if you cut them 6 inches from the belly button. Then yeah, all men are created equal. But otherwise, they're their own unique God, right? Your placenta is your father. It is your creator. It is the zygote. It created you and formed you and gave you life. And out from that stem, out from the stem of the father, the tree of life, came a stem, and out came a fruit. And that fruit was the baby. That was you, right? So when they make that cut, the man has fallen. That is the fall of man, right? You fall onto the floor. What was that song? Her placenta fell to the floor, yeah, right? Live. The angels open their eyes. That song is about that event, the cutting the umbilical cord, the separation of man from father. And, you know, they hear the cry down the hall. And late, she opened her eyes. Like, what have I done? Right. I've separated my son from source. So a doctor, he needs to have a license to do something which would normally be illegal. Well, the biggest illegal thing he can do would be human trafficking, cutting that umbilical cord. If it's saying, like, if I just go around cutting people's arms off, right, that's human trafficking. I've just cut off your member. Well, that's still a member of me. It's still part of me. It's still connected. That's 1/8 of, you know, of me. And so I'm still using all of my biology. Like, if you cut off my arm and you go put it on in a bank vault and say, okay, I got your arm in deposit. Well, that's still my biology. It's still my property. And I'm still using it. You just because you have my arm doesn't mean you own me, right? It doesn't mean that you have any claim over my DNA or anything like that. That would be trespassing, but you can't. Same thing with the placenta, right? So here we go. When they make the cut, they separate the placenta. The placenta is the creator, and they put that on deposit. When they put that on deposit, they say, okay, well, this man, this woman is going over the course of their life, make this many hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. And so that's their net life worth. And so we're going to put that on deposit. And now we have evidence that we own you, and that we're your God, because you're separated. You've forgotten all about this because you're celebrating a birthday. You don't even remember your time in the womb. You came right out, cut yourself off. You celebrate the day that came out and forget all the 9-10 months inside of the womb. And now you don't even know who you are, but we do, and we have it on deposit. And if you're going to forget that, if you're going to forget your creditor, your creator, creditor, I'm sure there's two words that are similar for a reason, then anything you need to do in the world of commerce, you're going to have to go through the United States Treasury. The United States Treasury is what keeps record of all the placentas, all of the birth records, all of those transactions. Hence why you have to have your signature to go monetize, to get money out of that creditor, right? And that's how you go about doing commerce. That's why you get pulled over, because they need you to admit to being that name, which is tied to the placenta, which is the creator, which is tied to US Treasury, so they can get money. That's the whole ordeal. So we, knowing that, and knowing that above the oracle's wall, when Neo walked in, it said, know thyself, right? Jesus would often say, I and my father are one. Well, And that was blasphemous. People, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the stupid C's, they did that. I thought that was blasphemous because you can't, you and your father can't be one unless you go through us, because the tax collectors and the publicans and the sinners, which in the Bible, sinner just means a debtor. Sin in the Bible means debt. Reread the Bible, substitute sin for debt, and then see what you come out of it. They were doing this thing. This isn't new. The separation of the father and the separation of church and state, right? That's the same thing as the cutting of the umbilical cord. This isn't new. This goes back ages of trying to when they can make claim on man to control man. So when Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," he's letting you know, hey, from fertilization until my last breath, I am whole. I mean, that's what he's saying. When my mom and my dad lay laid together and they 26 chromosomes and they had 46 chromosomes, a split second, those 46 chromosomes came together, Father and I are one. I'm not cut. Nobody came in between me. There's no human trafficking. My placenta was on. I'm a lotus baby, right? Like I'm good here. There's no creditor. There's no debtor. If there's no debtor or creditor, then there's no trespass. Then there's nothing you can give me. And there's nothing I want from you. Nothing you can take from me. So that's kind of what Jesus would say. Like, it was like Luke 5:30, 31 or something. He's like, he said, those who are whole need not a physician. And that was, so that's Jesus making a claim that, you know, if you're not whole, then you do need a physician. So the scribes and the Pharisees were saying to him in the verse previous, like, why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? Okay, sinners, debtors. I already said that the debtor is the man cut, right? Once you're cut, you become the debtor. And the reason why is you already paid your toll to come into the land of the realm of the land, because the placenta is your ark. That's your ark of covenant. You've traveled here by boat, you know, as your placenta. You've paid the debt to give up that life, to give up that placenta. I mean, it's going to fall off in 3 to 4 days anyhow, right? That was the cost that you paid to leave the maritime, the water world, into this land. So you've already paid your debt. But if you, like I said, if you've been cut and you forget about that, well, then how did you get here? How did you get on this land? Did you pay the debt? Did you pay the toll? Right? So you become a debtor. You're a sinner. You need to be reconnected. You need church, Jesus, Pope, right? You need to be connected. And then publicans means tax collector. That's the creditor. So why do you eat with the creditors and the debtors, you know, the two people that have been cut? And Jesus says, well, if you're whole, then you don't need to be put back together.
Those two need to be put back together. Right.
You need to put these two people back together. I'm a physician. I can do that. That's why. And they're just like, oh. So I've been re-looking at Jesus's stuff lately, and it is just like, this dude got it. Like, he was speaking in parables for a reason, because this isn't things that people are just going to get. So there's a lot more like, okay, well, why is the church not talking about this? Do they know? Who knows about this stuff? At what level do people know about this? And to be honest with you, I think this is like stuff that maybe the Spanish Inquisition type of people used to know back like a couple hundred years ago, maybe the 1776ers, you know, that founded America or whatnot, allegedly. I think they kind of knew that. And I believe that with some of the Constitution stuff and amendment stuff, the way that's written, it's got a lot of it in there. But I think now it's been so indoctrinated that nobody has any, like hardly anybody has any idea. So you're like, oh, my church guy, he's just pulling people right into the pulpit and just saying, oh, this is a real literal event, and completely glazing over a whole different realm that I think Jesus was kind of winking a nod into. So being whole, right? That takes me back to my baby. The new baby, lotus baby. A lotus baby is a baby that's delivered whole, and there's no cut on the umbilical cord. And like I said, after 3-4 days, it'll naturally fall off on its own. Now I raise and I breed, you know, goats, rabbits, and the placentas. You know, it's part of the life. It naturally falls off on its own, and the mums sometimes eat it, right? Because it's got the what do you call that? The stem cells in it. Right? It's got nutrition in it. So the mom, after giving birth to all the rabbit, they'll get up to like 12 litters, you know, 12 kids. That takes a lot of energy. And so by them eating the placenta back after it falls off, then, you know, they regain that strength to give back to the babies, right? So even in nature, so
each baby rabbit is born with its own placenta. And then once it falls off, mama eats it.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and rabbits can have to, like, I think the world record's like 24 rabbits or something like that, one rabbit tad. Wow. But in nature, even nature knows the value of that placenta that's being born. It's not just discarded. You don't just cut it, throw it in a biohazard bag and just dump it, right? And I know Crow's kind of going in the rabbit hole right now. Huh, that's funny. Of trying to track down, okay, well, somebody in the hospital show me the tracking of that placenta when it's been cut, put into the biohazard bag. Where's it going? It's got to go through this department, that department. It's got to be forms signed everywhere. So I know he's chasing that, and that I'll be interested to find that out. Sui's also chasing that.
Yes,
yeah, hard chasing that.
One of the last episodes I heard of Sui.
Yeah. So nature knows it. How come we've long forgotten it? We've just not even part of our lives. We just accept the birth certificate, the birthday, and that's our origin, and we just keep going on. But for our baby, we're going to be doing a lotus birth. So that's, you know, baby's going to be born, whether it's through the portal of entry or another cesarean section. That's something Kate's going to have to decide on her own, right? But my goal is to make sure the baby's protected and whole. If it's home, awesome. Like, you know, that's easy to do. If it's at the hospice, then I've got, or a foundling. Hospital. I said hospice for a reason. And our foundling, they're basically foundlings.
Okay.
The Knights Templar, the Knights, foundling Knights. It's a whole thing. Then I need to walk in with an affidavit and have it all drawn out. And she's been on the phone for days and hours talking to like midwives, hospitals, different centers, like all across the state, North, South Carolina, who's going to let us do it, either a portal of entry delivery or a cesarean section delivery as a lotus baby. And she's been having a really tough time. Cause it's just like, no, you can't do that. Like, A, you can't make any money off of it. Oh, and it's unhealthy and it's unsafe and you're putting everybody in danger. So there's a lot of uphills if you got to go do it through the corporation. And she's working on that. And but anyhow, we're going to spend however many days it's going to be, you know, 3 or 4 days. That's going to be a time of honor and respect, because, you know, when a woman delivers the baby, she's got to go through the pushing and the whole contractions. Well, when you deliver the placenta, if it's left whole and uncut from the umbilical cord, you got to go through a whole nother delivery.
Contractions.
People consider it a second delivery. In some cultures consider it that's your twin. That's the other part of you. So, you know, people sometimes are like, oh, I'm looking for my twin flame. Or I'm looking for my other half or my soulmate, or I feel incomplete. Yeah, it's because somebody cut you from your source. Mm. What would happen mentally, psychologically, consciously, spiritually, if you were never cut and you were just that naturally fell off on its own, what would your world look like? What would you feel internally?
I can't wait to know what your baby.
I want to, that's my gift to her. Like, that's a life. That's a whole existence gift.
That's amazing.
So that's what I'm very excited for her. And I want to go two different paths. One is what I'm going to do with the placenta afterwards. And the other is Brandon and I think the very first time you and I actually talked, we did a tarot reading. You remember this, right?
Yeah.
And then the tarot reading we did was very unique. And you know, I know you thought this was kind of weird and interesting and definitely some synchronicities hit going on. And my mind's being blown the whole time because I knew it had to do about my future daughter. All five cards had to do with my future daughter. It was just mind blowing. And I've documented all this stuff.
I remember that.
And it got so profound that I actually started having dreams, which we can segue there too. I started having really intense dreams. I love dreaming. Dreaming's like my favorite part of the day. I get like, I take my vitamin B12. Like I get my night mask. I set the temperature the right way. I love my dream.
Honey,
world.
Before bed.
Honey. Oh, that's right. That's right. I haven't done that one in a while. So I had two very specific, hardcore prophetic dreams of my daughter, my baby, visiting me, talking to me, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, Kate, I think before Jackson was born, like I think Jackson, like the boy, is a girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was like right after I got the tarot reading from Brandon. And Kate's like, okay, well, we did a couple more checks. It's definitely a boy. And then my wife does not dream. I mean, she's probably had two dreams since we've been married, and both were like nightmares. She had a dream probably a month, before Jackson was born. And she said it was intense. She just gave birth, delivered, and it was a girl. And the girl came out, and she's just like speaking, prophesying, just like talking straight to me. And like her and I just like instantly just like having these deep conversations. And Kate's just like, what's going on?
Oh my God.
And she woke up. She's like, we got to go check. It's definitely a girl. Like 100%. This is a girl. This is a girl. And so it wasn't. It wasn't a girl. It was amazing, amazing, beautiful boy. We love him. But it was either you, Shannon, it was you and two other ladies from our group were like, well, maybe you just need to speak out her name to the universe, because obviously she's making her presence known to the two of you in very profound ways. So before Kate went off to go find the last time, is it a boy, is it a girl? We both sat and instantly we both knew her name. Like we knew the first and middle name, and we spoke it both out. It's a girl, it was a boy. But since then, we just like, where is she? Like, mm-hmm. where, like we've been asking for her, trying to talk with her, but now she's here. So the way she came in to Kate's a really cool story, but I'm not gonna share it. And there's just something about her already. And I'm just speaking from my own personal experience, but there's something already profound, prophetic about her. And I haven't even like, she hasn't been delivered yet. Right. I know what I'm going to be doing with her placenta. Like I said, I feel like there's something here. So it's a whole nother realm to unlock. Mm-hmm. You know, other cultures, they used to, I know I'm ranting here, but they used to respect the placenta, and either some families would eat it like nature would, mm-hmm. some would have a separate burial, right, mm-hmm. for that. But however they did it, they knew what it was. They knew the power behind it, and they put the honor. Some cultures, or even now, say that that is the sovereign. Like that is like when like Hemingway or like very profound people of our time had like a higher calling. They say these people had like a higher calling. Well, C-U-L-L, call, that's the placenta. So some babies are actually born with the placenta like indented on their head. And so that creator, that whole origin has just been like, you know, spent their whole 9 months with it just like invented on their head, and it kind of gave them a higher calling. They were more like savantish, right? They came out more savantish. So there's just power there, and other cultures knew it. So we want to kind of honor the same way and treat those three or four days as if like, not as if, but you know, her sovereignty is here, is intact. I mean, there's got to be a reason why there's no monarchs anymore. There's no kings, there's no queens, because we've made everybody, all men are created equal. Snip, snip, mm-hmm. snip. You've lost your sovereignty, right? Wow. So if you're whole and you're complete and you know your origin and you know thyself, Neo, then what do you unlock? And I think that, and that's the next big chapter in my life. Like we're full big circle marriage, yeah. you know, it's a big milestone in our lives that this is what we're pursuing. And, you know, we got 6 months to prepare for all this, but that's the big direction I'm heading. So I'll pause there and let you guys say whatever.
Well, I just want to say quickly, the only thing I heard you say in the last hour is that we're born from trees, and I'm so excited. Wow, how mind-blowing is that? And especially if you think of like the law of one with consciousness, you know, like with the different levels, and then like animals all have placentas that look like trees. And I've been listening to this audiobook. It's a fantasy series, and there's fairies and like elves and humans or men and women. And there's some of the fairies, there's this one tree god there, giant tree, and he could talk. And the fairies, the first fairies were actually born from him. They're called Bo-Rot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, whoa, we're all fairies now. Or, you know, yeah, I think that's amazing with the tree, though. That's so much in this realm is connected that we don't understand, you know, especially with consciousness. Yeah.
Fractals.
Oh yeah.
Yep. But I think that's amazing. I'm very happy for it. I can hear it in your voice that you, yeah. You know, yeah, man, that's totally amazing. I think there was something I was going to say, but I don't remember. It'll come back to
one
me.
One thing
but...
I remember
yeah, from
back when Adam was telling us about baby boy and this experience with the dreams and all these things. And I believe that's when you had pretty much barely met Brandon. Cause that's when he had given you the reading. And I had been wanting to connect you guys because I was like, I feel like they would totally like be good friends and they're like both on the East Coast. And so like somehow I ended up connecting you guys. And then that's when Brandon gave you that reading. And I feel like I remember that the name of your baby girl was revealed maybe through that.
You may know. I mean, it's a possibility you might
reading know. Something yeah. to that effect.
Yeah, it's like interesting because it's interesting when you speak into the universe and you like put your intention out there, you typically get something back. Mm-hmm. And it was that day you and I were talking, maybe a couple of days after, about Brandon, because I'd seen on some podcasts and like, oh, this guy's cool, he's got gets it. And I just put up
because I had shared with you the one with Philip, with Brandon and Philip, that guy that does the,
because Brandon barely talked in that one, and I'm like, I want to hear this guy talk more. But Philip's on point. But I'd put out to the universe, and I'm like, I don't remember what I said. It was just very like, higher self, show me what it is that you have in store for me. Like I was specifically talking to higher self, not knowing at that time I was talking to my zygote, right? Like I said, when I know that single cell origin is me, okay, that's my higher self, right? Because it's higher, the higher calling, that's the father, it's your the father. Dome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'd put it out there, and I mean, within like not even an hour, Brandon's like, dude, we got to do a reading right now. And I'm like, oh, I'm ready, like 2:00, let's go. So it was just like, put it out there.
I remember
and it
that
happens. Yeah. Brandon and I can be good friends. This is great.
Yeah, this is great. What a crazy
Yes. So
you wanted to talk about unless you wanted to finish that, but I was going to say, don't forget to talk about the placenta and what you want to do with it.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be doing, we're going to be doing a burial. And there's, when I moved here to this location I have, it's really reminds me of like my grandma's property. Like I came here looking for something very like in the woods, very exclusionary distance from people. I don't know the word I'm trying to say. And I came here, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my grandma's property. This looks exactly like it. These big, huge Brandon scene, just beautiful, big, huge oak trees. And I mean, I saw the one tree, I just started weeping. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to move here. And the realtor's like, you should probably negotiate. Woman, give me the paper. I'm signing right now. I don't have time to negotiate. This was like January, February, March, April, 2020. Like when Trump made his announcement of like emergency lockdown, I called Kate up immediately. I said, Kate, it's time to sell the house. Like that day, the emergency lockdown. I was like, I see the writings on the wall. And it was a really hard time. We went through tons of different properties trying to find this place. I digress. Fun story, but I digress. So one of the big trees here, going to be doing a burial. There's a tree in the side here and a tree in the front yard. The tree in the front yard, Kate and I have been calling Jackson's tree. And so I'm going to be doing a specific burial there. And then the tree over here is where I'm going to be doing her burial. So we're going to dig a big hole in the ground, 3 feet, about all more I can dig. And, you know, after it falls, put it in there, put our intentions there, not have like a morning dressed in black, just kind of like, you know, we reckon earth to earth, ashes to ashes, whatever that crap is, and you know, have a burial and recognize what it is, thank it for its journey, the boat that brought the baby here, and put our intentions in there and just let the earth figure out from there. But I'm also going to record it, so in the future, you know, any type of discrepancy comes up, any type of legal whatsoever, I'm like, no. Here's the 3 days of her having it fully attached. Here's the burial of it. What claim do you have on, that's for later. I'm always thinking ahead. So that's what we're going to be doing for her. You know, just like I have a nice little memorial. Not going to do the same thing I do with Jackson's, whereas I, had it processed and capsulized. Yeah. But But in thinking that, I was like, okay, well, my birthday is coming up here, like on the 30th. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something different, because when I was listening to Sharon had sent me a podcast from Interverse, and Interverse did a really good, because they had talking with Kurt Kallenbach as well. And then a couple months later, they had two other guests come on, and they really went like etymology on it, like started breaking down words and talking about like midwives of the past and just different intent that other cultures had with the placenta. And it brought me to tears because I realized exactly what I needed to do. And they said something like, you were cut, but just know thyself. It was going to fall off at some point anyhow. Once you know yourself, like don't get hung up on the whole trafficking, human trafficking thing. Don't get caught up on all this other stuff. Just know thyself. Do you recognize it? Don't forget it.
Well, you know why? Because it's a mental trick anyway. Technically, at the end of the day, it's a mental trick. So all you have to do is figure it out and just not let it affect you. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
that's it. No, that's it. Yeah. That's literally it. And when you walk into a courtroom, I know I keep talking about courtrooms because it really is, in my opinion, and others that think this way, this is the be all end all of all legality, period. And I use period intentionally, initial period. Now, maybe we'll have time to get into that, because all law, all statutes, all codes, all commandments, all amendments, all regulations are all based on the cutting of the umbilical cord, church, everything. Wow. And when I follow Kurt's like, all right, here's this case, here's these laws, here's this stuff, boom, 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 here's Black's Laws, Fifth Dictionary, give me a word, boom, 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 you just, it's, that's all it's based on. And so, you know, and then because of all this stuff, I start to question, you know, the authentication of the 1776 Declaration of Independence and the, or, you know, but at the same time, gosh, I want to get into so many different things. I got to stay on point. Reel me back in. What was my main topic there?
Well, I want to know what you were going to say about the Declaration of Independence.
Well, all I think things you're saying, all these things start, I think it has, with the cut.
Yeah, it does. Because I think the reason, you know, people want to quote the King James Bible, like, oh, that's the official version. I'm sorry. Didn't people flee England to get out of the rule of King James to come to America because they didn't like him, you know, changing all the Bible and the religion, adding stuff and removing stuff? Isn't that why they left? So why are you going back to claim that? Yeah, just questioning here.
And what if now every time we hear about things in history with the Christians and them splitting up and all that stuff, what if it was just about their own legal system and it had nothing really to do with the faith? It was more of a legal thing because they were true Christians and they knew what Jesus' true message was through the parable, or maybe they figured it out and that's why they branched off, and then they just kept getting co-opted, you know, as the time went on.
Yeah.
And then we get it as a story as, oh, they were just had religious beliefs that were different, you know. What if it was like, no, we're not your slaves, this is the kind of Jesus we follow, you know what I mean?
The first followers of Jesus, I believe, were, now I'm not going the whole literal versus literary, I'm just stating the first followers of that work, were called Luciferians, because Lucifer means morning star, and that's the title Jesus was given, the morning star. So the people who followed the morning star, Lucifer, were Luciferians. Another thing that's been perverted. I can hear a sarcastic warrior being like, yes, he's getting it. Yes, he's right. maybe I'm a Luciferian. You see, like, just saying things like that really is just like thought provoking. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Darwinist. I believe in evolution. Because when I just segue right back to the placenta with that, we're told that evolution, right? It's millions and millions of years. Like, you came out of, there was this ooze, you came out of the ooze and you were like a fish and you were swimming through water and you grew legs and you came out of the water and you were walking on the land and you became like this animal and you kind of morphed into something, you were crawling and then walking and,
oh God,
you know where I'm going with this, right? So yeah, I totally, that's called Darwinism. 100% are in evolution, totally on board, because that ooze when mom and dad lay together, you know, there was that primordial ooze. And out of that came a single celled, you know, fish or a sperm or whatever.
It looked like a fish.
Sure. And so it was swimming around in waters. And then, you know, it wasn't 9 million years, maybe 9 months. But, you know, then I, you know, went from one cell to multi-cells. That's called evolution, by the way. Evolution is, you know, going multi-cell, more cells. And then, you know, I grew some legs, right? And I'm swimming around and I came out and I started crawling around the ground. I started stumbling and walking and here I am now. So yeah, I'm a Darwinism, Darwinist or whatever you call it. Totally right. Because that's Darwinism, right? That's nature. Now, the trick is that the binary trick is intelligent design. We're taught to think of intelligent design, right, as to like the God created all this stuff, the voidless godless outer space realm and all these flying rocks and hurtling worlds that don't even exist. That's intelligent design. Well, actually, allegedly, well, not even allegedly, let's just make believe.
Where's your hat,
Brandon? I just vomited right there. The birth certificate is what's intelligent design, right? Because you intelligently designed it. It has nothing to do with the creator creating this 3D, 4D, 5D, 6D realm, whatever this is. So by choosing intelligent design, you're foregoing, again, your origin. It's another trick, right? So anyhow, Luciferian. I think they're also called 14thers. Something about that, I can't remember.
Yeah. Who knows, man, with the filters that history goes through. You know, that's why I try to look at things allegorically, just like I look at religious texts and even like works of art like Tolkien and stuff. But if you look at history in that point of view, you can kind of still get, because just like the Darwin story is true, it just wasn't 9 million years, it was 9 months. Same thing with history. I think there's some element of truth in there. That's why it sticks and it resonates with people, but they're just not focused enough on it to question it or look deeper into what it really means. And what if that's really what Christianity, like if what was that guy, Martin Luther, like what if his reformation was just because he wanted more freedom, you know? Like,
it's funny to say that. I think Steven Spielberg now owns Martin Luther King's speech.
Oh, I'm talking about Martin Luther. From the
16th, sorry, yeah, that's right.
No, but that's that's funny too, though.
That's funny.
Martin Luther, he wasn't a king, though, you know.
We was kings.
Oh, so I can tie the birth certificate and all this and COVID together too.
Okay.
The birth certificate, like I said, it's on bond paper, so it makes it official U.S. Treasury backed. Cash currency value, right, on something. Well, when I following Kurt, he actually had put three notices out to three different people about exposing or coming to fruition and realizing and then putting out and exposing the whole zygote, the origin, the conception. People say, oh, I was conceived. No, conceived and conception the same word. It happens 5 days after fertilization occurs. And then there's 5 days before you actually implant into the wall of the uterus. That's conception, which that's the earliest I think anybody can make a claim on you. Catholicism, I think that's the earliest they can make. But, you know, you can't ensure an act of God. So they can't go beyond that, because when two come to one, when two or more come together, there I am. From that point to the point and implants into the wall of the uterus, that can't be, they can't account for that. They can't ensure that. You know, a terrible act of God. So the birth certificate, right? That's the that's where the money at the creditor are. They want you to be the decedent estate. Well, Kurt had noticed the Department of Health for his state by noticing her saying, hey, I'm claiming my zygote, I'm claiming this, you're doing this, that, and the other. She immediately resigned. Because if she had went one day more, she would have been guilty of human trafficking, because she had been agreeing by acquiescence through silence that she agrees to this. And now she's part of it. If she had worked one day further, it got escalated up to the law team. And like, oh, you got to leave now. Like he's noticing you. You now are aware of it. You have no deniability, period. Oh, I got to get back to the word period. He does enough job with that. So then he sent another one out to the World Health Organization secretary there. As soon as she got it, she quickly resigned, like instantly. This is like 2019, like late 2019. And then he's like, okay, I'm now going to send this to Trump, right? So he sends it three times to Trump, twice at the end of February 2020. And the last time he sends it, like the second week of March 2020. A few days later, after he receives it, Trump makes an announcement for an emergency emergency shutdown.
On 3/11?
Yeah. So like days, just that same week that he gets it, shuts it down. Because what had happened was, is he had kind of, he had claimed and exposed that the birth certificate is fraud. He like, he can, not just for himself, but like the entire realm, the birth certificate's fraud. I can claim all the way back to zygote. It's human trafficking. So that's why, you know, I've been hearing that the government went bankrupt, and that's the whole reason for the real reason behind the scenes of the whole, you know, COVID thing. And then there's kind of, this is all just masquerades. So I've been trying to figure out, pardon me if I'm burping so much, this is good tea. I've been trying to figure out why, what caused the bankruptcy. Well, it was this. And so what they needed to do was the insurance agencies, insurance companies, and Swee gets into this too in his last thing. He's Swee's speculating. He's like, I think I figured this out. The insurance agencies, they were unable to use the birth certificate as the insurance for your all your assets, your whole life's work, your whole, right? And they said, well, this notice is going to expose it to the whole realm. Everyone's going to know about it. And then we're done. Like the whole 2D world just goes away. And there are people in play that said, no. We think these people are still sheeples. And we're going to prove it to you by making them, we have to cover and protect that identity. We had to cover that infant. So like I said, when you celebrate that, I didn't get that. When you celebrate the birthday annually, you are just agreeing to be the infant over and over and over and over again. You never get past 365 days. So the day you're born, okay, fine, that's your birthday. I don't really care. But on the next year, on that same day, it's not your birthday again because you're not birthed again. If you celebrate it, then you just reset the slate clean and now you're zero again. Now you're an infant. So,
like,
you know,
Prince says, I only had one birthday.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
But he's gonna know. That guy knew stuff, man. He knew stuff. And that's why on some of these patriot movements, they talk about like, well, you need to let the courts and people know that you're age, you're an adult, right? You're not a minor anymore. And that's like the big thing. It's like, you're no longer ignorant. Well, if you consider a birthday, then you're obviously still an infant. So that's,
wouldn't just, it be funny if, just to interrupt you really quick, if you're like trying to do this in court, you know, you're like, I only had one birthday, and you see all this stuff, and then they start pulling out pictures of you like celebrating your second and third birthday. And they're like, oh, we got evidence. We know.
I'm just enjoying some taste cake.
Yeah, you ain't got none on me, copper. They start pulling out pictures of you like blowing out candles. You're like,
oh, that's a good thing you said that, because you can, if they have a video of you doing whatever in court, or have a picture of you doing things in court, and they say, is this you? No. And you're not lying, because I'm me.
It's an image of you.
I'm here right now. I'm me. But that's don't give them the answer, because then they're going to try and change it around. No, that's not me. No, that's not me.
Yep.
I'm me.
Is there a way to say it and remain an honor, I wonder?
I think if you just ask questions.
No, like, would you say, like, if they said, is this you, could you say, do you have any evidence
to prove that it is me?
Oh, I would say something. I don't like to answer the question directly.
Yeah.
I think about these things, but I do want to answer the question without answering the question directly. I would say, I am all present and accounted for. Because now they're saying is a big word. Is means like, is like,
ask
is
Bill like. Clinton.
Exactly. Well, it depends on what your definition of is. And he's right. Because is means like, is this you? Okay, No, I'm right here.
Yeah.
That was me. But is? No, I'm is. To be or not to be, I be.
What if they say was?
It do be like that.
Wait, what?
What if they say, was this you?
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't do anything. I don't think you can do anything, because they need the present moment. They need you, because they need you to somehow become not you, right? They need you to either become the birth certificated character. They need you to become license.
So,
they need
you to not be you. Then you're saying that's you instead.
Yeah.
Of you.
Yeah. Right. It's the golem, right? They need a golem to work with. They can't use
the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's the mind trick. I once you do the mind trick, then it doesn't matter how you go about saying it. You just
yeah, yeah, totally. I was thinking like if they had a video of you doing something and they're like, "Is this you?" But if they're just trying to say to you, "Oh, is this you?" and you're like, "Yeah," then you're like, "Haha, we got you." I love it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So the birth certificate, the bond paper, it's not worth anything anymore. And so they need to find a way to insure the infant. Like I was saying, that's what, going back. They need to reinsure the infant. They need to make sure everybody still accepts themselves being an infant, because everybody wakes up and says, "No, I'm not an infant anymore. I'm an adult. I'm a big boy, right? I'm a big kid now. Toys R Us." So they what they did was, okay, we need to cover the infant. Now, Sigmund Freud called the infant, I don't know if you know, he called the infant the id, the ID, the id. That's the only identification. Do you have your id? That's the identification, the id, the infancy. So the insurance company needed everyone to cover
their id.
Id.
COVID.
COVID. So that's, I know it seems silly, but that really is what that was. It's the COVID. I mean, it's all capital letters. It's not a word. People are like, "Oh, Ovid." Okay, but OVID might be someone's name, but capital C, capital O, capital V, capital I, capital D is not a word. I just explained earlier, there's no English language or English rule that says that all capital word is a word.
Yeah, honestly, you know, just to.
It's interesting, right? I mean, it's interesting. That's, I can say that. I'm not making a claim.
It's very interesting and very like synchronistic. And first of all, I want to say it's not Toys R Us; it's Toys Were Them now. So,
yeah, that's right.
Thank you. But what I was going to say, what the hell was I going to say? You know, I did want to say this. So, Kurt's talking about like the system coming down and all this stuff. But do you think that's a good idea for most people in this world? You know,
I don't know, man.
You know, because what I see, like, so I live, I'm living with my parents. Everybody knows that right now. And they watch a lot of this court TV stuff, you know, so I'm always walking in and out of it. And I'm like, you know, maybe they need this court system for most of these people in there. You know, like, I know it sounds terrible, but if we could just find a way to be like, "Listen, guys, can we just have a truce? Just leave us alone. We won't wake anyone else up unless they come to us. You know what I mean? Just leave us alone. You can deal with that." Because yeah, it's so amazing. And another thing with the court TV shows, they've shown a couple people trying to go the sovereign citizen route, and they like really hammer them.
Well, you know, that's not the right terminology.
It's an oxymoron. Yeah.
Or even like living. Well, they show this on TV because they want people to see, I guess, see it. But they also like people I've heard say all kinds of stuff like, "I'm a living man" and all this, you know. But I think you're right. They agree to the birthday, probably. At least. Yeah.
Yeah. They got all kinds of different snares and traps out there for this, that, and the other. But the more I'm thinking about this, and I know from Kurt and Sweet's last conversation they just had, they're both at a point now where they've had all, you know, Kurt's been doing this for 13 years. I don't know how long Sweet's been doing this. His history is incredible from what he will expose. They're both at a point now from having this understanding of what do we do now? Not like we've exposed everything. We've solved everything, right? If you will, what do we do now? What do we do with this? That I mean, and Kurt's like, hey, with his book being done, he's like, maybe I'm just going to find myself a little bit of trouble to get into with the law and just do my thing through the law system. Cause like nobody wants me in their courtrooms, period. But I want to put my work into it and see what happens, because he doesn't know what to do next. And the last time he put his memoir into the court records, the first time the thing that he served all three of those people, when he took that and put it into the court record, he went to his courthouse, he filed it, and came back out. Well, he signed it a very specific way, like Harry S. Period Truman does, which I still haven't even gotten into. And the lady comes rushing out of the courthouse because she saw the way he signed his name. And she's like, sir, I just want, or Kurt, I just want, I'm the clerk of courts. I just wanted to say, thank you for coming in today. It's very nice meeting you. Hope you have a nice day. That's it. And she just walked. And she's like, he's like, what? What was that? It was later. He started seeing some of these things coming together. But I think that, you know, the devil is not supposed to, quote unquote, the devil is not supposed to. He can't do anything without giving a full notice or full disclosure, right? He has to make the world know what he's going to do before he does it, however that works. I think tying in what Brand just said is, you know, the peace treaty, come on, guys, let's take a break or whatever for the courts. If you look at their laws and have in your mind that everything has to do about the separation, you got to know what some words mean. I mean, you got to know what derelict means. You got to know what, there's a whole plethora of words that they sneak into, but it all ties into accepting to be a minor, accepting to be cut. And if you see all that, I think the courts is perfect the way it is. If you know exactly why you're in there, how to work it, like the magistrate courts, those lower courts, those are just commercial entities. Those are nothing. The only real court is Article III court, and that's the federal level. And my buddy's taken some two things there this month and next month, and then I'll be taking something there throughout this year too for my situation. But those are the only real courts. But if you go in there with this mindset and this standing, I really think that there's nothing they can do, because they can't use any of their laws or codes against you because you're whole. Right? They couldn't. That's why Jesus walked. I know he was allegedly murdered or crucified, or whatever. But you know, the Pilate judge, he was just like, "There's nothing here. This man's whole. There's no debtor. There's no creditor. He's committed no crime. This guy's. I find no flaw with this guy. And if something's whole and perfect and pure, then there's not going to be a blemish or a flaw or a crack or a nick." So he's like, "Sorry, guys." But then you know, the Jews or the peoples were like, "Whoever, you know, I don't know, people." Backpedaling, people were like, no, this guy's got to go. He's a problem. So, and I thought it was funny that Owen Benjamin was like, if you want to be a real Christian, you shouldn't use the cross as your symbol. You should use the whip, because the whip is what you use if you want to break the money changers. The cross is what happens if you cross, cross Rome, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that, because he's the whip to beat the money changers.
Yeah, nobody talks about that.
Yeah,
but the circle, going full circles, I really think that if you, that the court system, the way it's set up now, if used under this mindset and knowing how this is, they use the Bible, they think the all laws based on the Bible, whether you religious or not, or however you want to accept the dragon god being your Lord and Savior, I don't care. but that's what their basis, and in, I really think it's perfect the way it's set up. If you know how to go in there and not have an attorney, use an attorney, well, then you just admitted that you're cut and you're out. You accept the birth date, well, you just admitted you're out. Is this you and the driver's license? Okay, well, you're there, you're out. You just have to have a new understanding.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really what it's all about. It's the frame of mind, you know, because then I think that stuff doesn't even start to affect you after a while. You don't even get into the courts and all that stuff.
Well, and just to that point a little bit, if, like, we talked about this before and several episodes ago, I can't remember which ones, but like, if you put yourself in that mindset of like, you know, memorizing scripts, and like Neville Goddard says, imagine yourself in the state, that the desired state you want to be. Well, if you're imagining yourself getting stopped by a policy enforcer, then you're memorizing scripts and you're doing all this, you're just practicing for what's going to happen. And so it 100%. Will happen to you. And I originally early on was like, ain't nobody got time to be memorizing scripts. I'm not even going to put myself in that situation. I don't know why I chose to ignore it, but I did. And
yeah.
Well, let's just say that hasn't happened to me.
Sharon,
I don't expect it to.
Exactly the same mindset that I came to conclusion with, because I was also practicing. I mean, you and I went the same journeys, almost the exact same time periods. So when we were studying that law stuff, I was learning those scripts. I was just like, I could get pulled over. I've watched all those getting pulled over videos of the licenses, this, and I'm not this. I had my plates removed. I had all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I literally manifested what came to me, right? Yeah. 100%. Now, you know, I'm taking all that to federal court, which I have a really nice lawsuit against them. But I did manifest it, and I had to untrain my brain to stop thinking those types of thoughts of like, okay, well, if I get pulled over, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. No, you're not going to get pulled over.
Exactly.
Stop thinking those things.
Exactly.
Stay in honor. And, you know, and those thoughts started to leave me, and I've gotten more peace about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's 100% true. So now I just kind of practice this stuff because, okay, I'm not really in the courtroom or anything like that. I'm just kind of saying that I am whole. This is kind of more like my mantra, right? This is kind of like my meditation. I am whole, you know, from fertilization to the last breath. And by doing that, I'm kind of just speaking from my single cell organism. And I just speak from there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've just been noticing things in my life just kind of getting more abundant.
Amazing. And it circles back to the beginning, abundance, what we were talking about when we first started.
Oh, yeah. Hey. So,
abundance.
Yeah. What you speak out and practice in your mind, the universe is going to be like, okay, well, he's obviously preparing for something. So let's just give it to him and see what happens, or her.
Yeah.
But
I love it.
Yeah. Maybe you can even go to the, when you had that issue with the law enforcement, when you get very far along in the
process.
Lawsuit, you could just go to him and be like, can we have a peace treaty now? Listen, I'll just withdraw my lawsuit. You leave me alone. I won't teach anyone around here what I'm doing. Like,
nah, man, this county is terrible. I'm not going to be here too much longer, I don't think.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I hear the Ozarks in Missouri sound pretty good right now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard myself.
That documentary was pretty cool.
Sharon was there.
I was there. It's beautiful out there.
Daisy's got some 12-acre lands right across the border there.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She kind of like wink, wink, nod at me. I'm just like, yeah.
Well, you know, you should definitely try to go to the festival. Maybe Daisy should try.
Oh, I'll be this festival. One. I'll be going to this festival.
Okay, yeah.
I made my donation, so I get 2 free tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Sweet.
I don't know the logistics, but well, I got my tickets.
What? You're going.
Right.
You're going. I'm going. So Cody's going.
If well, I'm going, the, Cody's going. Do you know the date?
Labor Day.
I don't know if there's a date yet.
Labor Day.
Yeah.
It was last time it was Labor Day, so I suspect it will be the same.
As long as it's not before the little girl shows up.
No.
I mean, I kind of went on as much as I can with just, you know, I could go a lot deeper, but I think really I just want to press the idea of like, know thyself, really. Just don't forget where you came from. Don't forget these things. And just know that from my studying, I'm just talking to everybody listening. I really feel like all the traps and snares from whatever patriot group, I must just label it that way. You go into straw man, this licensed man, this, that, and the other birthday, this, it's all mind trap. It's all mind trap. If you forget your origin, you're screwed, period. So just know thyself and then you're good. I mean, can you see the names on our screens? Do people see our names?
I don't know.
No, I don't.
On the live stream? Oh, okay.
I can't remember.
I think they do. Every time I've seen them these days, they show up.
Oh, yeah, maybe they do.
Well, I would suggest listening to, so I'm not going to go into the initial period, but go into Crow77's last podcast, probably episode 402 or 405 with Kurt. And he really gets into the Harry S. period Truman and why there's a whole controversy of why they keep the actual period itself in the S. And it's not just like, you know, Harry S. Truman. Like if you write it out, you have to put the period there. And that's kind of like a wink and a nod to being a living man, quote unquote, living man, a sovereign, a true man, not the birth certificate character, someone who actually knows thy origin, right? It's kind of like a wink and a nod, a flag of convenience and consistency. But that's just, if you don't know the talk and can walk the walk and a judge sees you sign a document that way, you know, Adam S. period Spiker, I just said my name. I don't care. I know who I am. Then the judge is going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to throw some questions at you. What's your birthday? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, this guy doesn't have no idea what he's talking about. But it's kind of like a flag. Like, hey, I'm waving a flag. Test me. And then he's allegedly, right, it would just be like, okay, this is dismissed. Not that I'm trying to manifest this. I'm just trying to like help people. Because I just left a really big patriot group that I had spent almost 2 years dedicated into. Because I wanted to learn, you know, a lot of people went through all this crap they went through with the companies and corporations forcing you to do something that they didn't have any rights to do. Mm-hmm. So like many people, they went to go find affidavits and notices and listen to these groups and these groups. And I think a lot of people were taking advantage of some people, some patriot groups. I found one that I thought was, and maybe is, the authentic of the 1776 ones. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to get into details. And at some point I just realized, well, you know, if we're going to keep assembling every week, what's the difference between me celebrating my birthday every year, you know, just I'm just an infant, versus assembling every week? Because it's the same thing. If something's broken, right, and it's not whole, you got to put it back together again. So if I keep going to court, exactly, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, the king's horses and king's men couldn't put that together again. Sovereign men, kings, right? King's men, sovereign people. Sovereign people couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, because Humpty Dumpty, who no one ever said in any lyrics that he was actually an egg, by the way, he couldn't put himself back together again because he didn't know his origin. He just kept celebrating the birthday constantly. So if a vase has been shattered and you can somehow put it back together and it's whole again, you can't reassemble it because it's assembled. So why do I need to keep assembling week after week after week after week with these groups when I'm whole? You know, biggest hang up some of these things people get into are the court's this and the court's that and being pulled over this. It's like, how do we win in court? And I don't want any of that stuff. I feel like Sharon was just saying, you're just going to manifest a situation where you're going to be put into that to test yourself. Mm-hmm. Nah, man, I'm good. I'm whole. I'm going to go out and
crush,
take care of my rabbits and crush life.
Yeah, exactly. I love how this show often comes back to the same point, which is to know yourself. And I will venture to say there's only one person that could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I've been saying this for a while. It's Humpty Dumpty.
It's Humpty freaking Dumpty. That's the answer. Right,
man. See all the knowledge that's contained in these little riddles that we tell each other. There's reasons why they're passed down, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, yeah. I think this would probably be a good place to put a fork in it. What do you think, Sharon? Unless you have anything you'd like to add?
Put a tuning fork on it.
Put a tuning fork on it.
Yeah. I just heard Chance Garten say that on an episode with Michelle's Healing Home, I think.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm like halfway into that one's pretty good.
Nice.
Oh, well, big shout.
Oh, I just did Michelle's Thai massage. I just gave Kaitlyn a Thai massage the other day because with her body going through pregnancy changes, she's mm-hmm. aching and hurting. And so I'm like, all right, let's do this.
That's
so,
a different Michelle, but yeah.
Cool. Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyhow.
But yeah, still.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You get a tuning fork, Adam. You need a tuning the sonic slider. Trust me.
You don't
me.
Have the tuning fork, Adam?
No, I would love to get some. Okay. I would love it. Yeah.
The sonic slider is a good one. Well, Sharon, I'm sure we'll send you a link. That's
yeah,
a
please do.
Will do.
Do you ever hear, I know we're going to sign off, but do you ever hear like sometimes like maybe even at night, a little pitch in your ear or just like a slight little ringing if it's completely silent? You never hear like
I'm a DJ. Oh. I hear that all the time. I hear that right now.
No?
Yeah, I hear it right now.
I don't.
I'm a DJ. I hear it all the time. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't, but I think there have been times in my life where it will happen like randomly. I'll just like start hearing something in my ear and I'll be
like a pitch, a steady pitch.
Yeah.
Well, from what I'm gathering is it's actually your pineal gland and it's just humming. And when you hear it, you want to just kind of hone in on it and just focus on that because that's like you actually oscillating with the actual bass frequency of your pineal gland. Because for years, I just hear like this same pitch. And I've actually been trying to find a way to like match that pitch because I want to know frequency, all these other things.
Oh, maybe that's
well, what in my studying, it's like, no. Don't try to dismiss that pitch. Focus on it. Because I'd hear it at nighttime. So the more I start focusing on it, now that I know what it is and I'm not freaked out about it, I'm like, oh, this is me. This is actually, because you know, some people think, oh, I've seen the actual gem of who my actual soul is, right? They've turned around in their dream state and seen like this beautiful gem vibrating. Like that's actually your soul or, you know, whatever. Okay. Well, if your pineal gland's vibrating, it's oscillating, it's gotta be some type of tuning fork in there. And anyhow, if you hear it, focus on it.
Okay.
I love that. Yeah. Cause I hear it all the time. And I thought it was just cause Yeah, I was going
the deafening ringing from blasting music.
Ooh, I like your thing way better. What, doctor? No, it's my pineal gland. What?
I'm talking too loudly in my head. I can't hear you.
Oh man,
this is good stuff, guys. I really appreciate this hangout. This is
yeah.
good.
Yeah, I loved yeah, it.
Totally.
I'm Thank glad you we got so to much up. For coming on, Adam.
Yeah. Like to give a shout out to the chat too before we go. When this premieres on Thursday, there's going to be a chat and we're going to be live. So thank you guys for checking this out. And we appreciate you so much. You know, you could support us by going to morelawsmoreproblems.com, click on the over sharing tab. And there's several ways to support us. We always talk about it, but the best way is to just hang out here in the chat every Thursday night or just comment and like and share and all that fun stuff. All right. Well, what do we say to good people, Sharon?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally being a Karen.
That's right.
So don't be a Karen. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Sharon.
See you
later.